The following paid program is sponsored by the friends and partners of Joseph Prince Ministries. Today with Joseph Prince.
God says, I'll put my laws in your heart. I'll be your God. I'll be merciful to your unrighteousness. Your sins I will remember no more. It's all I will. Your part in the new covenant rests. Christ was sinless, and yet he became sin at the cross. How come the Lord became sin? He received our sin. He did no sin. Now, how come you and I, by doing no righteousness, we are righteous? We receive his righteousness. Come on, lift your voices to the one who gave his life for us, who has risen from the dead. He's here right now. Give him praise. Hallelujah. We welcome your presence, Lord. He is here, you know. We're not just saying. He is here. Amen. He's in the midst of us. And he wants to love you. He just wants to wash your feet, refresh you, heal you, adjust you, put you right. Put your woman right as well. Put your house right. Everything is going to be all right when he is in the house. Amen. You may be seated. We'll just go right into the word, shall we? You love the word? You know, this all scripture is inspired of God, but not all scripture is the gospel. We need to take the water of the word and turn it into wine. Everything in the Old Testament points to one, our Lord Jesus. Right after God gave the Ten Commandments, God gave a statute. And the statute is on the born servant. When a man comes to his seventh year, a Hebrew servant, he's allowed to go free. But if he loves his master, he loves his wife, he loves his children, and he chooses to remain as a born servant, he'll be pierced in his ear and remain forever in that household, because he's got a good master, this born servant. He's nothing more than our Lord Jesus. He came from heaven, manifested in the flesh, lived among us, and he had a choice. He could go back without us. He could go free, but because he loves his master, because he loved his father, and because he loved you, you went to the cross, he was pierced. And remains, listen, he remains, if I can say this and it won't shock you, he remains a servant forever. John in the book of Revelation saw him all glorious, high and lifted up, but he was girded with a golden girdle. So even though he's exalted today, he remains a servant, girded with a golden girdle, and he wants to serve you. Now, don't have that false humility and say, Lord, like Peter, you cannot wash my feet. And the Lord would say, if I wash you not, Peter, you have no part with me. This, my friend, is the gospel. When Jesus rose from the dead, he walked with the two disciples. They were dejected. They were depressed. They were discouraged. They were on their way to Emmaus, their hometown, away from Jerusalem. And the divine stranger joining their conversation, he says, what is this that you are both talking to each other and you are sad? And they said, don't you know what happened these few days in Jerusalem? Are you a stranger in town? And the Bible says that the Lord restrained their eyes from seeing who he was. I always thought to myself, Lord Jesus, why don't you just let it all out here? Look at this, guys. Come on. These are the marks of my love for you. Look at my side. He could have done that, but why did he restrain their eyes from seeing who he was? And then the Bible says, he says to them, oh guys, fools and slow of heart to believe. That are the two indictments against the church. Either we are ignorant, or if we know, we are so slow to believe. And what is the cure? Jesus, and the Bible says, beginning at Moses, the first five books, the Torah, that's the Old Testament. Beginning at Moses, he began to expound in them all the things concerning himself. Not what to do, what not to do, not the laws, not the commandments, but things concerning himself. And when he came to that bond servant, he had a smile on his face. That's me. And the Bible says that at the end of the journey, when he left them, they said to one another, when they realized who he was, did not our hearts burn within us? A ministry that unveils Christ and ministers Christ to the people will cause burning hearts. Did not our hearts burn? And then like this, the Lord opened my eyes one day to realize that why he restrained their eyes? To give us all equal opportunity. Because if they saw him in the flesh and knew who he was, you know, you and I, we are saying, well, he's back in heaven now. But then he wanted them to see him in the scriptures first. That gives us all equal opportunity. If we can see him in the scriptures, amen, that's a cure to foolishness and slow of heart to believe. So all the Old Testament, they are scripture, but they are not the gospel. We need to turn it into the gospel. We need to bring Christ out of it. I was in Santa Monica, in L.A., just outside L.A. last year, just minding my own business, having a good burger with my pastors, just recovering from jet lag before my assignment. And I had this guy pass by. He was picketing. You know, those who carry a picket and shouting, "Repent! The kingdom of heaven is at hand!" The amazing thing was that every scripture that he quoted, they were all scriptures. And he was able to expound on it, not expound, but quote it word for word. And I know the scriptures. So he was quoting it word for word, not even missing a beat. It's all scripture. You know what the Lord said to me? Look at that. It's all scripture, but no one is hearing the gospel. It's not enough just to preach the Bible. The word. What about the word? Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But in the original, in the Greek, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Remata Christo, unveiling of Christ. The Ten Commandments is also the word of God. John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Notice that truth is on the side of grace. I said truth is on the side of grace. Now, is the law true? Yes. The law is true, but it's not the truth that sets you free. The law demands, but does not lift a finger to help. The law demands righteousness from sinfully bankrupt men. Grace provides righteousness as a gift. The law says, take off your shoes. The place you are standing is holy ground. But grace says, put shoes on his feet. My son has returned. He has a right to stand in my presence. In the Jewish people will tell you that the first giving of the law was on the first Pentecost on Mount Sinai. When God gave the law, 3,000 people died at the foot of the mount. Well, when the day of Pentecost was fully come under grace in the New Testament, God gave the Spirit, and 3,000 people were saved, which goes to show the letter, the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. We're going to move our pulpits, brothers, ministers, leaders. We're going to move our pulpit from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion. It's time for us to preach from the mercy seat. I didn't tell you to tell, I didn't come all the way here to tell you how bad you are. Your wife does a better job. I came to tell you how right you are with God, in spite of the fact there are a lot of wrong things about you. It is a gift. You understand it's a gift. In Romans 5, it says, look up here, it says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Now, we say that we are sinners because we sin. No, we sin because we are sinners. Why are we sinners? Why are we sinners? Because of Adam's sin. So, you know, I think in heaven, that rascal has a special place in one corner. 24-hour security, all the angels that God... No, I'm just kidding. Heaven is a place of love, amen? But he brought into this world all the mess that we are in. He brought in death, brought in the curse, brought in poverty, brought in everything else, even aging. So by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So we sin because we are sinners. We are sinners because of Adam's sin. You got that? By the same token, why are you righteous today before God? Because of one man's obedience. It's not your obedience. It's not your obedience, bro. It's one man's obedience that has made you righteous. Now, just reason with me just for a while. I know it's very early in the morning to reason. We'd rather shout, let loose than reason. But when you come to church, don't leave your brains behind in your drawer back home, okay? We are here to take our brains, wash with the detergent of Jesus' blood, put it back in the right, in the opposite way. You know what? That's called repentance, and then we'll be okay. Reason with me for a while. When we were sinners because of one man's sin, Adam's sin, right? Could we undo our sinnerhood by doing good? Could we, by giving money to the poor or something like that, undo the fact that we were sinners? So no amount of doing good could make you righteous, right? Because what the first Adam did was so powerful, you were in the prison called sin. Now, by one man's obedience, the last Adam, we are made righteous. But after we are made righteous, how many of you, after you're born again, you did some things, you messed up a little bit, just a little bit. Let me see some honesty in the house here today. All right, a few of you are not putting up your hand. Right over there, right over here. All right, one more time. How many of you have messed up a bit after you became a believer? Now, what makes you think that now by one man's obedience, by his obedience, not yours, you are made righteous because you have disobeyed in some areas, you have undone what the last Adam did? When you cannot even undo what the first Adam did by doing right, by your works, you cannot undo what the first Adam did when you were a sinner. What makes you think now that you're a believer, you can undo what the Son of God did? The Bible says we are righteous because of one man's obedience. Now, once we know that, we will produce the fruits of that right standing. Amen? But we cannot work for that righteousness. It's by his obedience. And no one can take that righteousness away from you. When you fail, you're still righteous. Just like when you were a sinner, when you do right, you're still a sinner. How did Jesus become sin at the cross? How did the Holy Son of God, the Bible says Peter, a man of action, said he did no sin. Paul, a man of intellect, said he knew no sin. John, a man of the heart, a man of love, says in him is no sin. Christ was sinless, and yet he became sin at the cross. How? How come the Lord became sin? He received our sin. He did no sin. Now, how come you and I, by doing no righteousness, we are righteous? We receive his righteousness. Now, when he received our sin, God treated him like the worst sinner on earth. God turned his back, unleashed upon him his holy wrath and all the curses. Amen. He was suspended like heaven will not receive him and earth will not acknowledge him. Now, we are in this place. Even though we have received his righteousness, many of us feel like, no, but it's not mine, you know. But then the Lord was treated as if he sinned. So God will treat you like the best thing in all Dallas. Amen. The most favored one, the most blessed one. You see, the law is all about do good, get good, do bad, get bad. You don't need the Holy Spirit to preach that. You need the Holy Spirit to preach you can receive good you don't deserve. Because another received all the bad that he did not deserve. Now take a look at this video that we have done of ancient Israel. When somebody sins, what he does is that he brings his lamb to the tabernacle. Say tabernacle. The Mishkan, the place where God would have his manifested presence in the center of Israel. So this man brings the lamb? Because he has sinned. It's very evident why he's there. Notice the priest does not examine him. It's very obvious why he's there. He's sinned. The priest examines his lamb. It's not a question of how good he is. It's a question of how good his lamb is. Now his lamb is approved. What does he do? Well, the sinner has to identify with the lamb. He lays his hand on the spotless lamb and all his sins are imparted into the innocent lamb. All the righteousness of the lamb, the spotlessness, is imparted to him. He's given the knife and he kills the lamb. The lamb realized that it was his sins that killed the lamb. The lamb dies in his place. That was his death. And he walks away with the favor of God. He walks away with something he never had before. The righteousness of the lamb. And God's favor is on him. Church, this is the gospel. This is the gospel of grace. There is no other gospel. This is the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached. They got him into trouble. And have you noticed that? You may be seated. Don't take my time, okay, folks? Today we have this idea that if someone preaches grace, it's another gospel. How did the devil hoodwink us? In Galatians 1, Paul says, though we are an angel, I marvel. First of all, he says, guys, I'm shocked. I marvel. Now, this got nothing to do with Marvel Super Comics, okay? I'm shocked that you are so soon removed from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. What's a different gospel? Whatever is not the grace of Christ. Notice he says, you have been removed from the grace of Christ, implying the grace of Christ is the true, bona fide, genuine gospel. To a different gospel. Whatever is not grace is a different gospel. But today, we have it lopsided. We think if someone preaches grace, it's another gospel. We have been hoodwinked by the devil. And the devil is never more subtle than when he comes as an angel of light. And his ministers, ministers of righteousness. Have you heard of this before? The sting of death is sin. 1 Corinthians 15, 56. The sting of death is sin. Let's go deeper. Why is there death? Because there is sin. Why is there sin? The strength of sin is the law. The strength is the Greek word dunamis. The dynamite of sin is the law. If we can remove the law from the people's life, sin will lose its power. In other words, the more you try, the worse it is. The more you try, the worse it is. The law is about you shall not, you shall not, you shall not. The focus is on you. Grace is, God says, I'll put my laws in your heart. I'll be your God. I'll be merciful to your unrighteousness. Your sins I will remember no more. It's all I will, I will, I will. Your part in the new covenant, rest. Years ago, the Lord said to me, when you rest, I work. When you work, I rest. Now, by the way, you have heard that recently used by a number of people, but this is the original dealer. The Lord spoke to me this many years ago. When you work, God rests. When you rest, God works. Have you noticed that the harder you try, the worse it is, the farther you seem to be? We should do everything from a posture of rest because Christ has finished the work. Do you pray for victory or do you pray from victory? Do you fight for victory or do you fight from victory? Now, one thing, if I was the devil, of the two doctrines that I would attack above everything else would be these two. Look at Romans 5:17. It says, by one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace, number one. Those who receive what? Can you preach too much on grace? No. is those who receive abundance of grace. First thing. And then those who receive the gift of righteousness. Righteousness is not a reward. It's a gift. Say gift three times. It's a gift, bro. And the greatest way to honor what the Lord Jesus did at the cross in becoming your sin is to stand tall and own the fact you are righteous in Him. When you confess, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, you receive these two gifts, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you will reign in life. You will reign in life. And when you reign in life, the devil doesn't. When you reign in life, your addictions don't. When you reign in life, your bad habits will not dominate you. You know, habit is a hard thing to remove, isn't it? H-A-B-I-T, that habit. Remove the H, you still have a bit. Remove the A, you still have that bit. Remove the B, you still have it. The only way to remove the I is the cross. Amen? And that's the answer. So, imagine, if I were the devil, I would attack and assassinate the character of anyone who preaches abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, because I want the church in bondage. You can preach anything you want, but don't touch on grace. When somebody sins in a church that's known as a grace church, they will say, well, it's the grace message they preach. But you know, people are sinning in every church. Now, it's one thing if everybody is sinning big time, but every church has people sinning. But when someone sins in the legalistic-based church, no one says it's the law. The devil has subtly made grace appear licentiousness. Well, the grace of God will lead to licentiousness, brother. No, it's the absence of it that does. The church is in the place where, by the way, the double curse I mentioned just now. Let's go back to it. And this reigning in life is so real that if you have time, you can go to josephprince.com. Actually, I don't promote my website, but I just want you to go to the testimonial section and see how many people have been delivered from addictions, from pornography, years of bondage to pornography. And all the trying, all the praying, all the fasting did not cut it. But the day they discovered that they can confess, even while they are smoking weed, even while they are in addiction, while they are doing it, we encourage them to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. It's a gift. You can't lose that gift even while you're doing it. Well, Pastor Prince, you're giving people license to sin. They'll still do it. Might as well do it confessing, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And you can read the testimonies of people who watch porn. The last thing you want to say when you're watching porn, you see, you don't understand about porn. It's a big-time addiction, and men don't want to acknowledge that. But the thing is this, we teach that while you're watching porn, the last thing you want to do is to bring God into it. And you say, Lord, I thank you that I'm still your righteousness in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And you can read the testimonials of these people and how one day they said that it just fell off, Pastor. Years and years of porn addiction. Today, I'm here to tell you, Pastor, it's been more than a year and I've not watched porn. True change is from within. The gospel is not about behavior modification. It's about heart transformation.